Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Patty McLean. I want to welcome you to my show, Exploring the Paranormal with Patty, which is every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. to 4. And I don't see a hand up on my board. I'm sure one of these callers is my guest. And today we have medical astrologer and shaman Eileen Nauman on the show. She has a book on medical astrology, and besides medical astrology, Eileen will be discussing the forthcoming eclipse on the 26th, Saturday the 26th, and July 11th is another eclipse, and then we have some kind of comet running over the heavens, and Eileen knows all about uranium planets, which I know absolutely nothing about. I don't see a hand up on my board. There was when this number first called in, and I'm going to see if this is Eileen. So hold on a minute here. Hello, Eileen.
Patty?
Hi, is this Eileen?
It's Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Welcome to my show.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me. It's a delight.
It's going to be fun to hear what you have to say today. Did you hear what I said in my opening?
Yes, I did, and it was very accurate.
Yeah, and so, and Eileen is actually two people. She's also Laura McKenna and has written over 90 romance novels.
Well,
today we're focusing on astrology, and she's also an astrologer. So you said, tell me about uranium planets. I don't really know anything about those planets.
Well, first of all, Patty, let me correct you on something. My fiction name is Lindsay McKenna, not Lauren.
It's Lindsay. I'm sorry. Lindsay McKenna.
That's okay.
Got my L's wrong.
I have over 116 books published, and I work right now for Harlequin and Silhouette. Okay, so let's cut to the chase, and let's talk about uranium planets. Uranian planets are also called trans-Neptune planets, but basically a German soldier, a cook, during World War I, his name was Alfred Witte. He had a lot of time on his hands, and he was an astrologer, and he had a lot of friends who were at the front, who were down in the ditches and making attacks and so on and so forth against the Americans and the British. And Alfred would, one of his friends would, like, get their leg blown off, or he would die of mustard gas exposure, or one of his other friends would have a message, a letter from his wife back in Germany saying, you know, we have a baby boy. And so he would erect a natal chart on all of these things, and he would find out that by looking at the known nine, well, I shouldn't say the known nine, but the known eight at that time was Neptune, because Pluto was not discovered until 1930, and this is back in 1914. And
right.
So he began looking and going, well, gee, nothing's happening. Why are these events, these catastrophic or important events in a person's life, going down, but I don't see anything going on with the known eight planets plus the luminaries, the sun and the moon. So he began to watch this over the year or years that he was out there in the trenches, and he came up with a new system of eight new, what he called trans-Neptunian planets, because Neptune was the furthest out planet they knew about at that time. And so these eight planets, once he put them into motion, he figured out their orbit, and he created an ephemeris. The man was a genius. So basically, there's a lot of astrologers who don't believe in them because you can't see them, you can't prove them, unlike an asteroid that you can see. And so Uranian astrology has been very slow to take hold, but I've been using it since 1973. Charles Emerson was speaking on it. He was from New York City. He's passed on now, unfortunately. But he was speaking on it in Minneapolis at an astrology conference that I was at. And I was so taken with what he said that I came home and I knew I was going to start looking at them because I bought the ephemeris. And one night he called me at midnight and he begged me to get into using them, and I did. And so I use them in medical astrology. I use them in natal astrology. With using them, I have a 95% forecasting, ability with them. Without them, I wouldn't have it that high. So
and
I go
what
around.
Are
the,
they?
Pardon?
And what are they? What are they exactly? What are the uranium planets?
Well, for lack of a better word, they're sensitive points out in space. They're energies that are out there, and they are definitely reacting and interacting with us all the time. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it ain't there and it isn't doing something. So,
true.
Excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I said yes.
Well, I proved out using them in medical astrology, and I would find that certain uranium planets were very active when a person would take on, a specific illness or if they would have an accident or something like that. And like Vita, I found out that if the person, let's say, broke their leg and I was looking at the regular natal chart, I could see nothing going on. But as soon as I threw the uranium planets in there, I could definitely see things setting up where it could definitely indicate that the person was indeed going to have a serious injury. So that's a very quick thumbnail sketch on the uranium planets.
Do they have names?
Yes, they do have names. You have Admetos, you have Hades, you have Apollon, you have Caputo, you have Poseidon, Vulcanus, Kronos, and Zeus. And they're all named after the Greek myths, which is very interesting. I mean, Vitus chose the names for them. And so if you get into the Greek myths, which is part of one of my lectures that I give on these eight planets, you very quickly see why he named a specific uranium planet after a specific sensitive point out there.
And do they correlate with the other planets? Do they correlate with the sacred planets that we, from original astrology? Because I'm really ignorant of
okay, well, what's original astrology? We can go back to the Chaldeans, 5,000 BC, and we can go back even further. What they used then versus what we use now could have been different, could have been the same thing, could have been a mixture. And my two cents worth as a shaman, because I work with a lot of people around the world insofar as bringing back pieces and bringing messages to them and helping them with their permission to heal up, I believe very strongly that the Uranian astrology was actually from Atlantis, and that was the last world before ours, the third world, and I believe that Uranian astrology was used there by the Atlanteans all the time. And, of course, I believe in reincarnation, so that I believe that a lot of us that have reincarnated from Atlantis who are astrologers today used that system. And I'm sure that Alfred Vita, channeled the stuff back. I mean, nothing is ever lost in the universe. You cannot destroy energy. You can't destroy ideas. You can't destroy, knowledge or things, methodologies to use something. So it's just sitting there in the cosmic soup insofar as quantum physics goes. And then the right person comes along and they channel it, they bring it back, and now we can use it again in this fourth world, which is the present world that we're living in right now.
Well, it's very interesting because I had a past life reading from Aaron Abramson, who went into trance like Edgar Cayce way back in like 1971, and he said I was an astrologer in Atlantis, so I must have used this and forgotten it.
Well, I had many, many lives in
Atlantis. So I'm going to have to get your book.
Yeah. Okay. Well, most of us that are here today were on Atlantis. 99% of the people that are living on this planet now had lives back in Atlantis. And we weren't all astrologers, of course. But, when I saw the system, when Charles Emerson introduced it to me, it was like meeting an old friend again. And it was like, I knew this. I knew those planets. I knew that they worked. And because he had a really tough audience, and everybody's going, well, these don't exist. We can't see them. And I just resonated so powerfully with it. So I know I've used them before. And when I do my workshops around the world and I talk about the Uranians and I show how what they are, and we put them in everybody's chart who's in the workshop, and we start getting them to look at it, they all of a sudden start resonating with it and going, oh, my God, look at this. This explains this and this explains that, which they could not explain with regular astrology. And so I prove the Uranian planets by putting them into people's charts in those workshops so they can actually see them working. And I give lots of keywords and lots of concepts about each one of these planets so that when they do look at the Uranians in their natal chart, they truly begin to understand. And the lights go on. Using the Uranian planets is simply a deeper level and a broader understanding of what's going on. And we can use that right now with this eclipse on June 26th that's coming up. I'd like to talk about that.
Absolutely. And the T-squares and the comets and everything that's hitting us this summer.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me set up a scenario here. What I'd like your listeners to do is to consider that we're going to be talking about dominoes. And I think everybody's played dominoes. And as kids, you know, we used to set the dominoes up so that we would tick off the first domino, and then the whole group would go tick, 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 and they'd all fall down because one right after the other had an interaction and connection with them, okay? So what we are in is a domino game up in the cosmos right now. I call it the cosmic train wreck.
I noticed that, yes.
Well, it really is. And let me paint you a picture. This lunar eclipse, full moon lunar eclipse, is June 26th, which is this coming Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
And it is a full moon, which means everybody's emotions are on first base. Everybody is more prickly. Everybody is more sensitive. And the highest fluid tides in our body is at full moon. And what this means is that if a little extra fluid gets into the brain, between the brain and the covering around the brain, it puts pressure on the brain here and there. And so people really get super sensitive or super irritable. They can get angry. They can pop off. They can do really stupid things like go out and murder people. They are road ragers.
Emergency rooms get filled up at full moon. I know that.
That's right. We add to this full moon this eclipse, and this eclipse literally is a butt kicker. I've never seen an eclipse like this in my life because, first of all, it's at 4 Capricorn. So, you know,
well,
the Capricorn people.
Well, it's conjunct Pluto.
Excuse me?
What about it? The fact is that it's conjunct Pluto.
Well, I just wanted to establish that the lunar eclipse occurs at 4 Capricorn. I think we need to start there. But then when we start looking at all of the different aspects, the first thing we have is the moon is conjunct Pluto. And then we have Mercury square Jupiter. And, of course, we have moon opposite sun. That is the lunar eclipse.
Right, that is.
And then we have moon trine Mars. All of these put together in a hodgepodge is going to – I never like moon in aspect to Mars ever because Mars is our rage. Mars is our anger. Mars is our spontaneity. When we go out and we don't think about what we're going to do and we do stupid things. And with the moon trine Mars, that means that our emotions are just going to be sitting on the front burner on high, and it's going to be really easy to get super irritated, super angry, and rageaholics are going to come out of the closets, and road rage is going to be terrible, and there's going to be people who are going to want to kill people, and that is a shame. But
I think I better stay home next Saturday.
Honey, I ain't leaving my house. I am just, you know, I'm putting on my flak jacket, I'm putting on my helmet, and I'm staying home. I'm not going to go out and drive on that day because there's just too many people who are on the ragged edge. As somebody said last night or yesterday in my workshop in Phoenix for the Arizona Society of Astrologers, they're on their last nerve, and that's no joke. That's just the eclipse. Let's talk about what else is going on. Let's talk about that we have one of the Uranian planets. It's called Hades. Okay, and
ooh,
Hades.
Yes, that doesn't sound good.
Well, it really isn't because Hades, on its dark side. Okay, and we have to understand that Uranians have a light side and a dark side, just like our known nine planets and the luminaries, the sun and the moon. But Hades, in its worst energy expression, Charles Emerson used the slang or used the words dust to dust. When you have a Hades moment, or a progression, or a transit, it it's not going to just level the playing field. Like, you know, Pluto transforms things. Well, Hades
right.
totally destroys them, okay? If there was, a, you know, this, the 9/11
back
event.
Back to dust, you mean? It goes back to dust. Okay.
Yeah, all right. The 9/11 event
yeah.
was a Hades event.
Oh,
it
yeah.
literally
oh.
was dust to dust. There, and there was
right.
nothing left. And so we have Hades right now at 29 Gemini. And on
critical.
The day, excuse me?
Critical degree, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for starters. Let's just talk about the 29. People who are into numerology, 2 plus 9 is 11. And anybody that's into numerology knows that 11 is one of the master number energies. And if you add 1 plus 1, you get a 2. So it's an 11-2 energy expression for that day, which in my personal opinion, and also Karen David, who is a fabulous numerologist from Ohio, she felt that it is a moon conjunct Uranus kind of energy. And I agree totally with her because I've seen it act too many times. And so it's like an emotional lightning bolt. That's what that 29 energy is. And if you want to get back into looking at it astrologically, you know, every sign has from 0 to 29 degrees. Okay, we have 30 degrees and zeros included in that.
Right.
So
right.
the 29th degree basically is what I call the mop-up degree. It means that for whatever reasons, if you haven't really gone through and done your work as you had designated for this lifetime for those degrees at that time in your life, by the time it hits the 29th degree, if you haven't cleaned up all your messes and if you haven't grown and if you haven't matured and if you haven't deepened or widened as a human being, that 29th degree is going to bring everything that you refused to work on or you suppressed or you repressed. It's coming up and it's confronting you. And so your whole life can get terribly, terribly chaotic when a planet hits the 29th degree. And that's assuming that you haven't done all your work. If you've done all your work, you can sail past the 29th degree and it's no sweat. It's easy. But for most people, that 29th degree is, you know, it's like a two-ton bull charging you, and you have no place to go, and you've just got to deal with it. So we have Hades at 29 degrees. The comet McNaught, okay, on
yes,
the day.
Yes, Raphael brought him up this week.
Right. Yeah, thanks to Raphael. and also...
That's all I needed to know about, right?
Right. But on the day of the eclipse, the comet hits 29 Gemini, exactly conjunct Hades. Okay, so let's talk about comet energy. Comets, you know, have a very bad reputation. When they show up, crap happens, all right, to put
right.
it bluntly.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, first of all, an eclipse is like a flashlight in a dark room. It turns on. And, you know, if you are in a dark room, you turn a flashlight on, you see a spot of light wherever you know, put the flashlight beam. And so an eclipse for everybody across the world is about something is going to be highlighted in your life that you're supposed to pay attention to. You're supposed to work through, or you're supposed to have some kind of action or choice or awareness about. So that's an eclipse. Now, you get a comet. The comet acts in a similar vein, except it's like it's reverse boat energy. If you've ever been in a boat on a lake or on the ocean and somebody throws the engines in reverse, you see all of this chaotic, bubbling, churning energy at the end of the boat as it's trying to go in reverse. And comet energy is very much like that. It churns, it bubbles, it hisses, it spits, and it's like also a flashlight, and it also focuses. The problem here is that on the day of this eclipse, we have a comet conjunct Hades. This is not good news, okay? It really sucks.
I don't think so, no.
No, it's
yeah.
not. I'm really, I mean, I'm not sitting here going, oh, goody, look what's happening. It's terrible because it's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect Geminis who are in the late degrees just before, you know, and this would probably be around June, oh, probably 18th, 19th, 17, 18, and 19th of June. You know, those are the Geminis who, 29 degrees is right around that area for them. And
right.
So be on the lookout and be watchful and stay alert and don't get on a plane and don't, stay home. Just stay home that day. It doesn't hurt to stay home for a day and just put her around and do things around your home. So we're going to possibly see some serious tragedy. And this eclipse, I find that they work 5 to 7 days out from the actual eclipse. And so as far as I'm concerned, from the 19th of June up through the 26th, we are in the shadow of the eclipse. And people really need to watch themselves and watch others and just know that everybody's prickly like a porcupine. And instead of giving in to anger or irritation, just know that everyone is under the gun, quite literally and figuratively speaking, in some cases. And we need to just take a breath and instead of snarling, give a smile, try and be compassionate, try to be understanding with others, because there's a lot of people asleep out there, and this eclipse is just so nasty, along with this Hades comet conjunction. They aren't going to know what hit them, and
it
they're
sounds
just
like a wake up call.
Well, we've got a wake up call coming, starting with June 26th with this eclipse. The wake up call continues through the second week in August, and those are the dominoes. There's several things going on that are going to keep tripping things off like triggers, and so. This eclipse
doesn't sound like it's very good for the mental health of anyone, let alone the physical.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Take a deep breath. Just back off. Just try and relax and just understand that this eclipse is putting a tremendous amount of emotional pressure on people. Now, people like us who know what's going on, it's a lot easier. There's a lot of people out there who don't know astrology or who don't believe in it, and they don't use it. You don't have to believe in astrology to use it. It's a tool. And those people who aren't aware that this eclipse is coming up with this Hades comet conjunction, the crap is going to hit the fan. And so different people react differently when crap hits the fan. And
that's
so,
true.
You know, the Capricorns and the Cancer people are definitely should be aware, because the eclipse takes place in Capricorn opposite the sun sign Cancer. Geminis and Sagittarians, same thing, because this comet is going to conjunct Hades at that same day. So we just
need. And it's squaring Saturn, too.
Well, we don't even want to get into that.
Oh, you want to? That's too common. But what about the next eclipse, too, that hits on July 11th?
Well, okay, let me build you a picture here, Patty.
Okay.
The first domino falling, all right, the first domino falling is the June 26th eclipse. The second domino falling is the comet is conjunct Hades at 29 Gemini in the very same day. The third domino falling is Uranus going retrograde on the 5th of July. And I will tell everybody, I have an astro forecast subscription on medicinegarden.com. I create a monthly article, several articles of information. And I'm telling my people who are on that subscription for July, don't get on a plane. You can go back and you can look at every time Uranus goes direct or retrograde, 5 days before and 5 days after. And there are huge airplane crashes and airplane disasters.
I'm supposed to fly July 6th. I'm flying July 1st and July 6th. Oh, dear.
Okay, well, if you get a bad feeling before you board, don't board it. And if you don't get a bad feeling,
better put my will in order.
It's
get my
serious
will
business.
In order.
Yeah, no, it's serious
know.
Business. So I'm telling my people, don't fly. Just stay off the plane. And because we do have air disasters all the time. Well, this Uranus, all right, is going retrograde at 0 degrees Aries. And so this is all part of that huge cardinal square, grand square that's setting up. The next domino that falls is the solar eclipse, the new moon eclipse, on July 11th, and that's at 19 Cancer. So, again, Cancer Capricorn people are really going to feel this energy. The good news about this one is that all the fluid tides in a human being's body is at low tide during new moon. So we're not going to have the stress and the pressure that we had with the full moon on June 26th. But this particular eclipse, the June 26th eclipse is going to hit the economy. You're going to see Wall Street. You're going to see something going on this coming week where we are again going to be in, economic woes and the economic soup, and things aren't going well because Capricorn rules Wall Street. And so the July solar eclipse on July 11th is in Cancer. And this is about families. This is about caring for your family and responsibilities to your family, your children, your spouse, your mother, grandmother, grandfather, also caregiving. And all of that's coming up. And, of course, we have the Gulf oil disaster, and we're only just beginning to see what the devastation is going to be. And I believe that with this July 11th solar eclipse, we're going to be seeing or hearing more or getting more help to the poor families along the Gulf who have had literally this Hades event. Their livelihood, their way of living is dust to dust. It isn't there anymore, and it isn't going to come back for a long time. So there's a tremendous amount of devastation. So I see a focus on those families occurring probably the second week in July because of that. So the next domino that falls is on July 23rd when Jupiter goes retrograde. And Jupiter is a planet of largesse. It's giving you a lot more of something than perhaps you wanted. Or it can mean like a lot of money, or it can mean in medical astrology terms, a lot of weight. When you have Uranus and Jupiter within 2 weeks of one another going retrograde, they're like two twins who are in a really bad mood, and they do 10 times the amount of damage they would do ordinarily by themselves. But they're together now, and so Jupiter feeds the Uranus, and Uranus is about unexpected, shocking, traumatic things that are going to happen. And again, we're talking worldwide. We're not talking just in the United States here. So that's the next domino that falls. Then the last, the next domino that falls is on August 2nd. Hades moves into 0 degrees Aries. Well, you want to look at that one?
Ooh.
Yeah. Hades is 0 degrees. I'm sorry, 0 degrees is Cancer. I apologize. Not Aries, it's Cancer. All right? So what's happening here is we have Uranus at 0 Aries. We have Saturn at 0 Libra, or 1 Libra at that time. We have Pluto at 3 Capricorn. And we have Hades at 0 Cancer. And we have formed the grand square that's going to kick this world's butt sideways. And so, and with Hades there, Hades is the slowest moving planet, so it is the handle of this grand square. And it gives us the flavor, it gives us the energy expression of what this grand square is all about. And so I wonder if it's any surprise if I tell you that President Obama's birthday is on August 4th. Does this mean anything to you?
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh. I don't like saying this, and I hope that the Secret Service is listening, because our president is under a serious assassination energy right now up through the new moon on August 9th. And I hope they take me seriously on this, because Hades at 0 Cancer on August 2nd. His birthday is August 4th. And any good astrologer knows that 3 to 6 weeks before your actual birthday, your birthday, which we call the solar return, there are big life-changing things that happen. And it can happen right up until the point of our birthday. And so he literally is sitting on a grand square on his birthday. I really wouldn't want to be in his shoes. We talked a lot about his chart Friday night at the Arizona Society of Astrologers when I showed them the chart and showed it with the Uranians. He is definitely under an assassination energy, and I sincerely hope that it does not happen. You know, I don't want to see anybody killed. But that energy is sitting there, and it needs to be said. And if that sends out
he's
a warning.
He's got a big mess with everything going on anyway. I mean,
right,
have a nervous breakdown. You know?
Well, you know, if you look at President Obama's natal chart, he has Volcanus. Well, this is going to get technical, and I apologize, but I use the Cosmobiology 90-degree dial. And when you put all the planets in that, his Volcanus is at his zero Aries point. And your zero Aries point is how everybody sees you in the world, what they think of you. And Volcanus, which is, again, one of the Uranian planets, it is literally, Emerson called it the cosmic hand of God. It's like President Obama, because his Volcanus is there at birth, he is destined. He is destined. He has huge things that he's going to do in this lifetime. The only problem with Volcanus on the dark side of it is that it is a volcano. And it also rules terrorism, fanatics, crazy people who do insane things like, you know, try to kill somebody.
Oh, we've got that all over the world right now anyway.
Oh, yes, we do. Yeah, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on in President Obama's chart. And so with Hades at zero Cancer on August 2nd and his birthday's on August 4th, the other thing I'm concerned about is Michelle Obama's mother. I'm afraid that, you know, there's the possibility that she may fall ill. So there's just a lot going on in both their charts right now, and we did discuss that Friday at ASA.
Well, maybe we should segue back somehow into medical astrology, since that's what this show is supposed to be. But it sounds like we'll have a lot of nervous breakdowns.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's life.
And tempers going off.
Yeah, the grand square is in cardinal signs, and what's nice about that is that there's a lot of people who are going to make breakthroughs instead of breakdowns, and it's going to be very good. It isn't all bad. There's tremendous creative energy, and doors are just going to fling open for a number of different sun signs, and so this is good. It doesn't mean the world is dying. It doesn't mean the world's going to quit. It just means that we are going through a very, very turbulent time. And it's just you simply want to stay in your core. You want to breathe, and you want to visualize peace, and you want to be kind to people. You want to smile instead of snarl, and you want to try and be compassionate, because we astrologers who see these things setting up know that people are under tremendous pressure and tremendous stress, and these dominoes and these next July, you know, late June through all of July and then early August is enough to snap anybody. And so we just have to be aware.
Well, and these aspects don't really separate until September, do they?
Well, they separate and then they come back together again, and then they separate again. So we're going to have this grand
square. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah. Well, we get our first taste of it right now, starting June 26th, and then we'll see where it goes. So what do you want to know via medical astrology? We'll segue to that.
Well, what do you want to just do a quick rundown of the 12 signs in terms of what they have to watch in terms of their physical bodies? Maybe
well, we can. I thought we were going to talk about the 6th house and the 12th house, so I was...
Well, do it the way you want. However you want to do it, Eileen.
Well,
I'm open.
Okay. I don't know the depth of your audience insofar as the signs.
Well, there'll be a lot of people who... We may not have that many people listening today. I never know until I get off the show, you know,
right,
in about a half an hour. But a lot of times 80 or 100 people will listen to it during the week at another time when they have time to listen to it. And a lot of my clients apologize that they didn't call in live, but they, you know, had something to do. But I know people have lives, you know.
Right.
So however you want to do it.
All right,
go ahead.
We can run down the sun signs, and I can give very general tags to each one of them. Let's talk about Aries. Aries is concerned with the head, and just generally speaking, a lot of Aries people get headaches, and some of them may even get migraines. And for a lot of Aries people, sometimes they get headaches because they're not drinking enough water. They're not drinking enough fluid because the opposite sign is Libra, and Libra rules the kidneys. So that sometimes just drinking extra water or enough water will make a headache go away. But they are prone to accidents and injuries to the head, such as concussions. Anything else that you can think of that could medically go wrong in the head, it belongs to Aries. And I don't want to get into too many, medicalese here, because we're doing a very light thumbnail sketch on it here. And the nice thing is that if Aries people have migraines, homeopathy, can cure them. And so they need to see a homeopath. And people can go to www.homeopathic.org, and there's a directory of homeopaths here in the United States and Canada that they can go look at state by state or province by province and get to a homeopath if they do have migraines and get them cured, because they are curable.
Right.
Okay, so let's go to Taurus. Taurus rules the neck. And anything that has to do with the neck. You frequently see Taurus people who have laryngitis or hoarseness. They may also have, some procedures with their thyroid. They could end up with a hyperthyroid or a hypothyroid. Blood tests will determine that. And also polyps on the vocal cords, that type of thing. Those are all Taurus-related ailments. When you get to Gemini, Gemini rules the hands and the arms, both the upper and the lower arms. And Geminis frequently end up, every time I see a Gemini, and I'm one myself, you tell them to hold out their hands, you inevitably see scars on their fingers or their hands, because they always are getting them caught in doors or paper cuts or, handling a knife and stuff like this. And also carpal tunnel problems are with Geminis in their wrists, and they can also have elbow-related problems. With their shoulders, we get into rotator cuff problems or AC joint problems. And so that's the part of the body.
The lungs are ruled by Gemini too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just starting with the hands and the arms, Patty. I'm going to the lungs next.
Okay.
They are breathing, okay? And so people who have bronchitis, who have asthma, Geminis tend to be shallow breathers. They don't breathe deeply, and so yoga is very good for them because that forces them to breathe deeply into their belly, and they need to do that. They just get so excited, and they're so... They're jugglers of a lot of things, and they forget to breathe. They forget to breathe deeply. They breathe very, very shallow. And so as we move to Cancer, Cancer rules the stomach. It rules digestion. And, poor Cancers, they're a water sign. And so they're highly emotional anyway, and they're very introverted. They're very shy people. And so when they get hurt, they like to withdraw into their shell. That's why it's Cancer the crab. The problem is that where Cancer holds all of their stress, all of their anger, and everything else is in their stomach. And so they are prone to stomach indigestion, heartburn, but also stomach ulcers as a result if they don't get out their emotions and if they don't give voice to how they feel. The next one is Leo. Leo rules the cardiac system, which is the heart and the circulation. And Leo people tend towards heart attacks of all types and varieties. They also can have circulation problems, phlebitis or deep vein thrombosis, which, when you fly, there's clots that can form usually in the lower legs. And then, unfortunately, if it escapes and moves through the lungs and into the heart, you can die from it. So Leo is about the heart and the cardiovascular system. Virgo. It's interesting. Virgo is one of the most careful, fastidious, aware people, sun signs, when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to eating good organic food and watching their water supply. nobody is more of a health advocate than Virgo. And unfortunately, Virgo rules the pancreas, it rules the small intestine, and it also has partial rulership over the liver. And so when Virgos get stressed, they get colitis. They get a lot of diarrhea. And it can go into diverticulitis, or it can go into Crohn's disease at its worst. And basically, it's stress and it's nerves, and that is how they deal with their stress and nerves. The pancreas, not every Virgo.
I thought the pancreas was real cancer. I thought that was under cancer.
No, it's Virgo. Sorry, might
okay.
be cancer
okay.
with somebody else, but it's Virgo for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, cancer. Well, I'm not going to get into any more.
Well, the pancreas has to do with insulin and diabetes and all that too.
Yes, it does. And Virgo is about breaking down of things in the body, and so that's why the pancreas is ruled by Virgo, because it's a breaking down process. And that's what Virgo
okay.
does. And so
okay.
you have with Virgos, some Virgos, not all, and again, it depends upon family genetics. They can be hypoglycemic, or they can go diabetic. And I want to make sure that your listeners understand that, you know, we're talking about these things. It doesn't mean that they have to be so. One of the biggest things that sets us up for any kind of ailment, whether it's acute or chronic, is our emotions, and how are we handling our emotions, or are we stuffing them, or are we letting them out? Are we actually feeling them and then, you know, discharging them? People who tend to not work on their emotions or give them their due are the ones that usually end up with some kind of acute or chronic disease. So it's an emotional-based system of why we are either healthy or unhealthy. So with Virgo, they also help co-rule the liver, because what the liver does is it breaks down everything in the body. It is our major, major, most largest organ in our body. And there's so many processes that go on in there. But that is Virgo-ruled. And so you can see liver problems also with Virgo, and it's co-ruled with the planet Jupiter, which I'm not going to get into today. Libra rules the kidneys. I see a lot of Libra clients. Some people say Libra. I say Libra, just so that we both know that we're talking about the same sign. Different countries refer to it differently. Libra is a more French pronunciation, whereas Libra is more of a U.S. pronunciation. But Libra rules the kidneys, and very frequently there's kidney stones, or there are bladder problems that move into the kidneys, and then the kidneys become infected. And so frequently you'll see Libras who will say that they have a pain in their back, and they'll go to a chiropractor to get their spinal column worked on, or they'll go to a physical therapist, and yet they'll still end up with in just above the hips, in the back, which is where the kidneys are at. And so what they really have is a kidney infection, or they may have a kidney stone and don't know it until it starts really rolling out, and then they're in absolute pain, paralyzing pain. So that's Libra. Scorpio rules the large intestine and the colon, and the large intestine and the colon are all part of the same thing. The colon is usually the last 8 to 12 inches of the large intestine, and it comes out in our anus, and that's where we have all of our bowel movements. And very frequently, I see a lot of Scorpios, because they have a tendency to suppress their emotions, they end up with constipation. And part of it is just trying to alleviate or discharge or feel their emotions, and then their bowels will loosen up too along the way. Scorpio also in the woman rules the reproductive area, but the woman's reproductive area has quite a few other things. It's the uterus is ruled almost specifically by Cancer, because Cancer rules the sacs of the body, like the eyes and the uterus. And so when you say Scorpio, it's the fallopian tubes, it's the ovaries, but there's different things down there. And so a Scorpio woman could indeed have a number of menstrual difficulties or menopausal difficulties. With the male, it may have to do with a low sperm count, or it could have something to do with their sex drive, either too high or too low. Usually in Scorpios, it's super high, just generally speaking. And that goes for both the men and the women. With Sagittarius, Sag rules the butt, the hips, and the thighs. And the problems there, most Sagittarians have pretty good health. They're very lucky because the planet that rules them is Jupiter, and Jupiter is the planet of good fortune and good luck and good health usually, unless there's some aspects that somehow sully that. But when you say thighs, there's a lot of things going on in the thighs, and usually it's the sciatica nerve that comes off the lower spinal column, comes down through the butt, through the hip, and down through the thigh, and then it keeps on going until it ends at the heel of our foot. But a lot of Sagittarians have hip problems, or their hips are constantly going out, and they need to go to a chiropractor, or they have sciatic nerve problem, which is very, very painful. And so of all the signs, they have the least amount of problems of anybody, but, of course, they're ruled by Jupiter. So, you know, they're just a lucky sign and have a lucky lifetime and have a lot less health problems than most of the other sun signs. So you get into Capricorn. Capricorn rules the gallbladder, and so you see a lot of caps with indigestion, with heartburn, and really what they got is a set of gallstones. And so some of them will be going in for gallstone surgery. Capricorn also rules the knees of the body, and so you're going to see knee-related problems or maybe a knee replacement later on in life with Capricorns. And then next we have Aquarius. Aquarius basically rules the ankles, and I very frequently see some Aquarians with what I call weak ankles. They're ankles that won't stand up under pressure, and they fold and they move. They also have a huge propensity and love table salt. This particular sun sign uses way too much salt, and of course that can cause strokes and heart-related problems later on in life. More importantly, Aquarius rules the rods and the cones of the eyes. And so when we have eye-related problems like a torn retina or a retina that's coming off the wall behind the eyeball or within the eyeball, these are Aquarian-related things. Cataracts, looking at color, looking at black and white, the retina, the cataract, the lens of the eye, even though the eye itself is in the head, it's ruled by Cancer, but there is also this overlay with Aquarius that has to do with the rods and cones, with the colors, with seeing things, and so you can get macular degeneration with the Aquarians. They also sometimes have a family history.
See, in my training, Aquarius rules the skin. In my Kabbalah training, it rules
okay.
the skin, which is really the biggest organ we have. Yeah.
Well, for me, Saturn rules the skin because Saturn's the container. If you didn't have the skin, it's the container to hold the bones and the muscles in place. You wouldn't have a human being standing upright. So for me, you know, it's Saturn. But we're not going to talk too much about skin. I'd like to get to Pisces here.
Okay.
Pisces rules the lymph gland system. It also rules our feet. And when people have immune deficiency diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis or allergies, and it gets, you know, worse from there, lupus, these are all Pisces-related things because it goes back to the immune system itself and how strong it is or how weak it is. Pisces people almost always have foot problems. They can end up with bunions. They can end up with Morton's neuroma, which is a tumor-like thing between the third and you have your little toe, and then you have your second toe after that, and then the third. And between the second and third there, you can have a neuroma. It's very painful. You can get flat feet. You can have arch problems. You can have all kinds of heel-related bone spurs. These are all Pisces areas, and they need every Pisces, ideally, I always recommend to go see a podiatrist, because most people's feet, they do not walk flat. They walk on the side, or they walk on one side or the other of the foot. And so they're putting a lot of pressure on the foot because they're not walking correctly. And every Pisces client I have, I automatically send to a podiatrist, and automatically they're going to be using orthopedic, either orthopedic shoes or orthopedic inserts to level their foot so that they're walking straight. Nobody really understands the importance of walking flat on your feet more than I do, because I get a lot of Pisces people come to me who complain of hip problems and lower back problems. And really what it is that they're not walking flat on their feet, so that once they go to the podiatrist and get the correct orthopedic inserts, all of the lower back problems and the hip problems go away. So poor Pisces really gets it coming and going. They rule all of our immune system. So, and they are the most sensitive and the most gentle and fragile of all of the sun signs. And so when stress hits them, it immediately impacts that immune system. And when the immune system is under stress, they get sick. And they're probably one of the sickest signs, you know, whereas Sagittarius is one of the most well signs, Pisces is one of the most sick signs. But that's why, because it rules the entire immune system. And
they can have a delicate constitution, huh?
Well, that's a very nice way to put it. Yes, they do. And it's fragile. It's very fragile. And so they need to do a lot of things to protect themselves against this big, bad world. But that doesn't mean checking out of it, and it doesn't mean going into drugs and alcohol to escape it. It simply means
that... The water signs have to watch those things, too. Yeah,
yes, they
true.
Do. Yeah.
But I would like you today, we've only got 8 minutes according to my screen of my computer here, so I would like to wrap up today with you going back to the doom and gloom prophecies of the comet and the eclipses and everything going on. Can you kind of, can we get back into that before you leave?
Yeah, well, we're basically in a cosmic train wreck starting on June 26th with the full moon lunar eclipse. And it's like a series of dominoes that are going to be falling down on each other. And it's going to start about the 19th of June, and it's going to go through the second week of August.
So we're already in it. We're already in it today.
Yes, we are. Oh, yes, we are.
We're
and
in
on
a
top
cosmic
of,
train wreck. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yep, and so along with this lunar eclipse on June 25th, or 26th, excuse me, we also have Hades at 29 degrees Gemini, and the comet McNaught is going to conjunct it at the same time on the same day of the eclipse. So I don't think that's going to be a really great day. And as a matter of fact, the 5 days leading up to this eclipse are going to be very turbulent, and people just need to know that and to, you know, make good choices that kind of keeps them out from under fire, so to speak. And
is this essentially more earthquake and volcanic activity, would you say?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get a lot of undersea earthquakes, and they are really going to be rip snorters. They're going to be, you know, probably 7 or 8 on scale. These are not going to be little.
Already have volcanoes going off in Vanuatu, in Ecuador, in Guatemala, and Russia's about to pop, and Iceland, and it's a little spooky.
Yeah, and the Earth has had enough of human beings, thank you very much. She's, you know, we're her children, but, you know, we've been such reclaimed children, and we've been so bad to her that she's going to swat her butt. And that's happening right now, it's like I told my audience Friday night. I said, you know, human beings are like Alice in Wonderland, but I said that's no longer true. We're now down the rabbit hole, and there ain't no way out. And we're down that slide, and we're going all the way down. And that's the truth. So it's just that we have to set our attitudes for getting through this better rather than worse. And going,
we don't have any other comets out there lurking, do we? Are there going to be more than one comet?
Patty, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of, but Raphael might know of some more.
He keeps researching those comets, yeah.
Yeah, well, bless his heart. I mean, I didn't know about this until Tara Wolf, one of my Facebook friends, wrote an article on this coming Grand Square. And she said, oh, by the way, there's a comet. And I went, there's a comet? Oh, no. It's like, and it was bad. I mean, it's like conjunct Hades on the day of the eclipse. It's like, I mean, that's like putting the cherry on top of a cake, and it's like you just didn't need that, too. And it's
sounds like a firecracker rather than a cherry to me.
Well, or a cherry bomb, you know, take your pick. But it's, you know, this whole July, we have Uranus going retrograde on July 5th. We have the new moon eclipse, the solar eclipse on July 11th. And then on July 23rd, we have Jupiter going retrograde. And it's just, it's like each one of these is like if you were in a boxing match, the guy is hitting you in the gut and hitting you in the head with each one of these things. And so by the end of July, we're just really... And then on August 2nd, Hades goes into 0 degrees Cancer. Obama's birthday is August 4th. This isn't good. And then
the final... He better stay home. You better tell him to stay home.
I hope the Secret Service is listening to this. I hope they really watch him, because he's going to need very, very careful watching, because there's some crazy people out there, and they are probably going to act, unfortunately. I don't like to say this. I mean... I voted for President
Obama. It sounds like this could be terrorism in our country too.
Well, but you understand that this is around the world too, and so there could be assassination attempts of other people in other countries too. It isn't just here in the U.S. This is a global thing. I don't want to see anybody shot or blown up, you know. But right now, terrorism is really going to ramp up in July. And the last and final domino that falls is on August 9th with the new moon. And so, you know, that ends it for right at that moment, but it's only going to be a breather because then Mercury goes retrograde on August 20th. But the biggest part of this is going to play out in July. And so it's like, don't go on vacations. Have a staycation. And, you know...
Well, I'll just make sure my well is in order before I go to my daughter's wedding. I got to go July 1st.
And they're getting married under a grand square. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is her third marriage.
Well, I don't give it great hopes either under the aspects that are going on. Do you?
Well, I won't tell her that.
Well, I can
really like the guy.
Yeah, I hope it works out.
Anyway, I want to thank you for being on my show today. I want to thank you very much for telling us all this wonderful stuff that you've been sharing today. And next week I will be on alone, and I will be talking about the tarot in terms of astrology and numerology and divination and spiritual development, because I have... happen to be a graduate of Builders of the Atom. I've been through the Temple of Sacred Tarot and Holy Kabbalah, and I will be talking about that in part next Sunday, too. And then on the 4th of July, check back later in July and see if I'm still on the planet. But because there is no show on the 4th of July, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio website and listen to any old show that's already up there, including this one. This show will actually be on my website within 30 minutes after we close, Eileen.
Perfect.
And you'll be able to then, too, go to the Blog Talk Radio show website and download your show as an MP3. And then if you want to attach it to your website in some way, you can.
Sure I will.
Okay. I really want to thank you. And then my show, if I'm here, if I'm still on the planet.
You will be. You'll be here, Patty.
I mean, fortunately, Uranus and Jupiter are in a wide trine to my moon, and none of these, of course, I have seven T-squares, but none in my chart. So, you know, you don't want to see my chart, Eileen. But anyway, I'm afraid to hear what Uranian planets are doing to my chart. But I want to thank all of you for calling in today and for listening, because we're going to be shut off in a second.
Well, thank you, Patty. I appreciate the time with you.
Thanks, darling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.